What is wisdom? That's what I was wrestling with this week. If you had to give a definition of wisdom, what would it be?
Knowledge.
Discernment, okay.
Knowing what to do, when to do it.
Oh, that's good. Knowing what to do and when to do it, that could come under the heading of common sense, perhaps.
Knowing what not to do. When not to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
All
right. Anyone else?
Learning as you grow,
because you're in trouble if you aren't learning as you grow. As a kid, if you put your hand upon the range and it gets burned, hopefully that has been a good enough experience for you that you're not going to do it again and again and again. And keep what? Keep your fingers out of the car door. I like that one.
That was a closet.
Back 2005, four of us were going to Rainy Lake, Canada, first big Canadian trip, and we stopped at our favorite restaurant in Osseo, Wisconsin. And I was sitting in the passenger seat of my car, and Dan Petrie is sitting here. The window was open, and I had my hand on the glass like this, and I got distracted by the guy who was talking to me outside, and I turned, so Stan hit the button, and I hollered, and he panicked, and he didn't know what was up and down, and so he pressed, and I thought, dear Lord, this is the end of the trip. I said, my fingers are going to be broken. Do you see a pattern here on fishing trips? I get my eye poked out. I nearly break all of my fingers. I should have had that wisdom that day. One more definition of wisdom. Lessons learned. Okay, those are all very good responses. What is wisdom? Is it something that's just hard to define but easily recognizable? Is it something with which we are born? Does wisdom get passed down from generation to generation? Or Casey, does wisdom not get passed down from generation to generation? What is the source of wisdom? Is it a limited commodity? Is it only reserved for a select few of the wise ones? Our brother Daniel Webster said that wisdom is a quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. And then Will Rogers had his own definition following up on this one. He said, wisdom is good judgment. And good judgment comes from experience. And experience comes from bad judgment. You see, wisdom is not the same as mere knowledge, and is not the same as intellect. I know a Holy Cross priest in South Bend who teaches at Notre Dame, and every year, he teaches a class at the first semester for the incoming freshmen. And after he introduces himself, he asks, how many of you were valedictorians in your high school class? And virtually every hand goes up. He says, now I want you to look around. There is your competition. So you may have been the sharpest knife in the drawer when you were in high school, but not necessarily now. But you know, you can be as sharp and as smart as a whip, but smart doesn't necessarily equate into wise. Greatness does not necessarily mean that the one considered great is wise. Reading a manual, listening to a lecture, earning a degree, or going to Google may keep you better informed, but not necessarily wise. My grandpa Bibby was like Jethro Bodine. He graduated the sixth grade. That's all the further he went. Lived down in the hills along the Ohio River. But my grandpa was wise. One of the best lessons he ever taught me, and I take this as a wisdom lesson, is that always point the wheelbarrow in the direction you want to go before you fill it up. And he applied that same kind of wisdom to other areas of his life. Hotel mogul Conrad Hilton was once asked what the secret was to his success in the hotel business. And he said this, "I learned a long time ago that on the whole, when taking a shower, it's best to have the curtain inside the tub." May not seem like much, but wisdom has a way of begetting wisdom. Wisdom is a result of learning from what you have lived. And fortunately or unfortunately, hardship and pain is one of the best teachers. Proverbs says it's better to get a slap from a wise man than to get a kiss from a fool. And I suspect that learning the hard way is what is behind some of these wonderful statements about wisdom that I came across. He who never made a mistake never made a discovery. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Enjoy what you can. Endure what you must. I love this one from Pope John the 23rd. See everything, overlook a great deal, correct just a little. And I absolutely love this one. Always when judging who people are, remember to footnote the words "thus far." And speak when you're angry, and you will make the best speech you'll ever regret. No, wisdom does not come as standard equipment. And we can't create it in a test tube. We can only choose it. Or more correctly, I should say, we choose her. Do you notice in the reading of this lesson, wisdom is feminine in the Hebrew. For all the people who like to use strictly masculine words for God, I would say, remember, wisdom is a she. In Greek, her name is Sophia. She offers insights into what we should do and what we should be and how we should do it. When a difficult decision must be made, we call Sophia. When a relationship needs deepened or mended, we call Sophia. When your career hits a wall and you have no idea what you're going to do next, please, with me, call Sophia. When you need a new perspective because you aren't sure whether a decision is going to be right or wrong, call Sophia. When you're out of options and nothing is clear, call Sophia. Proverbs 4:7 says, "The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom." Oh, well, that's a really great insight. If you want wisdom, get wisdom. Sounds pretty simple. But I think what they're saying here is wisdom starts when you know you need it. James 1:5 says, "If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God who gives all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you." The thing you need to know about Sophia, or if I may call her Sophie, is that she is everywhere. In our text, there were these words, on the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she stakes her stand. Even before you ask, she already is reporting for duty. Now, I asked you if you could give a definition of wisdom. What would you give as a definition for conventional wisdom? Okay, listening to someone, you learn from something else. That's good. I interpret conventional wisdom this way. It's a version of wisdom that makes assumptions about the world, real world, which may or may not be true. Conventional wisdom says losers don't get more chances and suckers don't get even breaks. Conventional wisdom said that by the time the Republican and Democratic conventions are held, those at the top months ago will be at the bottom. Guess what? Sophia's wisdom is time-tested. And I think if ever there is a conflict between her wisdom and conventional wisdom, she gets the nod every time. You see, Lady Wisdom has been around a very long time. If you look at this text, Proverbs 8:22, it said, "The Lord created me at the beginning of his work." Years ago, I was set up. Before there were mountains, I was there. Before cells started dividing and turning into birds and bees, I was there. I rejoiced. And I delighted when humanity was created. I took sheer delight that humanity was created in the image of God. And in just a little while after I shut my mouth, we're going to sing a hymn that reflects this longevity, this beginning of wisdom with God. Maybe you can sing it with me. I sing the wisdom that ordains the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at God's command, and all of the stars obey. There's no shortage of people who say they're looking after our best interests. It always seems that there is someone who wants to tell us what to do. We watch Henry Winkler on television trying to get us to get a reverse mortgage. Pharmaceutical companies make pretty commercials with pretty scenery and pretty people to tell us that we can live the right life of Riley if we will only pop their pills instead of the opponents. Or the competitions. You know, everybody's got great advice. If I were in your shoes, I know what I would do. You see, one of the reasons we gather for worship is to weed out the wheat from the chaff, conventional wisdom from God-given Sophia wisdom. When we gather for worship every Sunday, wisdom speaks to us. When we shut our mouths, open our ears and our minds, she speaks to us. Sometimes in a scripture, perhaps in a prayer, sometimes in the verse of a hymn that squeezes our heart, and sometimes against all odds, through the words of a fumbling and feeble sermon. I want you to get the picture. Side by side, God and wisdom in the beginning. Proverbs 9:10, however, says something a little different from Proverbs 4:7. 4:7 says the beginning of wisdom is wisdom. 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now please remember that fear does not mean terror. Fearing God means being in absolute awe of Him and seeing our own little puny selves in light of His majesty and power. Fearing God means trembling at the thought that God came among us in a human being in Jesus Christ so that we would have confidence by His grace on the day that we all will take our turn standing before the throne. That's the kind of fear that brings us wisdom. There was a high school kid, let's call him Robbie. His football team was in the biggest game of the year. It was the last game they were playing last year's state champion. They were ahead 3 points with 25 seconds to go. The opposing team was on their 35-yard line. And the coach calls timeout, and he huddles everybody together, and he says to Robbie, whose assignment is to guard an all-state wide receiver, "You stay stuck to him like glue, and whatever you do, don't let him get behind you." "Right, coach." And the ball is snapped. And the quarterback heaves a beautiful arcing pass that goes just out of Robbie's reach and right into the hands of the wide receiver that he let get behind him. Game over. Hopes dashed. And as the players were coming off the field, Robbie tried to hide in the middle of the pack so the coach wouldn't see him. And he made it to sit on the bench, no comment from the coach. He wouldn't look up because he feared eye contact. Went to the home, went to the showers, cleaned up, went home. Went to bed, tried to forget it ever happened. In the morning, his mother woke him up. She said, "It's Coach Taft. He's on the phone. He wants to talk to you." And with great fear and trepidation and terror, he picks up the phone. He said, "Stevens, I want you down in my office in an hour." "Yes, coach." It's the longest hour of his life, and he walks into the coach's office, and there sits the coach with the sports page in front of him. And he's looking at a picture of Robbie falling short of the pass and the winning pass going into the receiver's hands. He said, "Sit down." He said, "Did you see the paper? Would you look at this? Just look at yourself. I mean, your eyes are bulging out. Your mouth is gaped wide open. You're as stiff as a board. Every muscle in your body is taut. You look pathetic. Boy, you gotta learn to relax." And then he went on to say, "You know, there's a big difference between trying not to do wrong and instead trying to do what's right. I think many of us know what it's like, and I'm included, to go through life trying not to screw up. Try not to get a good thing and mess it up somehow. To be given a test and you have to pass it. And some people, like me, have spent too many years of their lives going through life afraid because we didn't want to make a mistake. But that ain't wisdom. No, not at all. That is simply fear, the wrong kind of fear, not the fear of the Lord. Because when we are established in God and open to His wisdom and ready to ask for it at any moment of our lives, she's there. Sophia, reporting for duty. "Don't sweat it. I'll tell you what to say. I'll show you what to do. I'll tell you how to be. Amen.